universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. In the last episode, I spoke about a compass on the car dashboard and how when my wife didn't have it, it was frustrating because she had difficulty finding the direction to go when there was detours and such. And I made the analogy then, or the connection, what do we have spiritually as a compass? If you didn't listen to it, you might want to go back. It's episode 153. I had some real interesting comments which spawned a couple more ideas for today's lesson and podcast. Corey mentioned that he takes the bus to school, and the bus driver said, "No, you can't ask where we are." I'm not sure totally what was behind that. Janet suggested that maybe the compass would be a good one as Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Certainly talks about travel, direction, making paths straight. And it's leaning on the Lord with all your heart, not your understanding. And then Robert suggested, said that for him, when one comes to believe in Jesus, he said Yahshua, as a Savior, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes inside, and he is the one that guides and directs. I liked all three answers. I think all three things are very interesting, and it got me to be thinking about direction and travel, and that there's different types of travel, even mentioned in the Bible as well as today. For example, there's walking. And when you walk somewhere, you need to know where you're going and the dangers before you. And so the Lord is a light unto my feet and a path unto my... I said that wrong. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my paths certainly would make a good comment that the Lord has to be the one opening up the ways, showing the dangers. We could talk about how do you know where the Lord is, not just in your heart, but then externally, which would lead then to Janet's Bible verse about Proverbs, trust not on your own strength, but on the Lord. We certainly have that in the Word of God. Another type of transportation besides walking is public transportation. A lot of people who are blind use that. And I know myself, I get on the paratransit, and say I'm going to 2147 East John, for example. And then I just sit back, and I trust. And that's what Corey has to do. Now, can't always ask the bus driver, where are we, where are we? It's kind of like the bus driver will say, don't worry about that, I'll get you there. And there is a great advantage to that, because isn't that really what how we get to heaven? We trust in Jesus. He took away our sin when he died on the cross. He is the one who transports us there. Yeah, great value there. And then the third way of transportation is somebody getting in a car and driving it themselves. For example, I mentioned last week my wife. And to be able to do that, you need to have a couple things. One, well, of course, the car, that's assumed, but you need to know where you're going, the point of direction, and then a map or some way to know which roads to turn on, some input, but then you also have to have skill to be able to handle the car because you're in control of getting yourself there. And that's where sometimes we run into problems, is we always think we're in control spiritually and we're getting ourselves there. And that's where we stumble, I personally think, that we don't as Proverbs 3:5 suggests, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But we're trusting on our own skill and ability to get ourselves there. Add to that, one last thing. I was talking with a teacher, and he's a great teacher. Ron is his name. He taught industrial arts, loved woodworking. We were talking about woodworking. And he's a great teacher because he understands that you need information, input, affirmation, those three things. At least those three are my words. First would be information. You got to either tell kids how to make this box and how the saw works or whatever, or you show them and you talk. So you have two forms of input so people can go, oh, okay, I get it. For those who are blind, the teacher would put your hands on the wood and then hands on the saw and then show you things. And so it's by touch. But then second, after the information comes in, comes input. As then you're doing the task, a good teacher will give you input. Have you thought it all the way through? Have you looked where your hands are? What are you going to do if this happens? That's an interesting thing. Now, what's going to happen now that the board went crooked? And then, of course, affirmation. Yeah, you did a great job. Look at that. My goodness, that's a fantastic job. And a good teacher, even if the box is decrepit, crooked, twisted, and not very good, will find some way to praise the student for what they did. All those things, I think, can also go into this whole thing of direction. Information, input, and then affirmation. Certainly, Jesus is doing that with us. He gives us information. That's what sermons can be, or Bible reading can be, this devotion can be. And then we need a follow-up input. Yeah, but now what? And causing us to think and work through and synthesize the information to the present circumstances. And then the affirmation. Yeah, you did a great job. And with that comes one last thought, kind of a, how do you know your direction, where you're going? As I heard all the input from everybody, I thought the one obvious one is sometimes the most important one and the one often overlooked. From John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Ah, but there's a story behind this. A neat story. It isn't just words. In Jesus' day, if someone would say, yeah, I'm looking for the house on Straight Street, number 3. Now, a person could say, well, you turn in 2 blocks and then go down 4 blocks and then turn left and it's on your left. Or they could say, I am the way, and then they start walking, meaning follow me. So really what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the way, he's saying, follow me. He is the one who helps us. He is our compass. And what's neat about this one, and I agree with Robert, the Holy Spirit's within us. The Holy Spirit's our new life. But when we talk about Jesus being our way, following him, it's an external. It's not dependent on me and whether I get it right. I'm always looking to Jesus, fixing my eyes on him. There's other verses that talk about that. Well, these are some more thoughts on all of this. And again, I love to hear from you. And let's close off today with that and a word of prayer. And I will ask God's blessings upon our direction today. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our way, that you are the truth, and you are the life, and that in you we truly do have life as you give us the Holy Spirit, and that it is not circumstances that we live and how we live or where we live or what we do, but it's knowing you and that you're with us. Thank you for that life. Help us to follow you. Help us to trust in you as though we're sitting on a bus and you're driving us home. Help us, though, as we walk, to hold the light of your word in front of us so we'll see those things that will stumble and make us trip. Lord, also be the input so that as you walk beside us, you do give control over our life. Help us to make the right choices. Help us to develop our skills so that we'll be able to do things. Give us that affirmation. And may we be that blessing for others. This we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. And as always, love to hear from you. You can respond to the email I've sent you or email me at info@not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.Andrus@not-alone.net.